13. Matthew chapter 13. We're looking at the parables of the kingdom. The first one is that famous one that Jesus emphasized, the parable of the sower. So let's look at Matthew 13, beginning at verse number 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, we bow before you to thank you and praise you for all that you are to us today. Certainly you're so gracious and loving and kind to each one of us. And we thank you, Lord, for the revelation that we have of your in your word, that we can understand who Jesus is and what he did and all that we need to know and for the salvation that we have in him. We thank you and praise you that you have opened our minds and hearts to receive your word. And we pray to you, Lord, that you'll help us, that we might be good witnesses for you in this world in which we live, as the sower went forth to sow, that we might be able to sow the seed of the word of God into the hearts of others and seek to help them to know you in reality. Our Father, we just thank you for all that you are and all that you mean to us. We do pray this morning, our Father, for any who cannot be here. We pray that you will watch over them and keep them in your care. We think especially of Carol today. We pray that you will undertake for her and touch her and strengthen her and restore her to good health. And Lord, we ask you to be with Doris and help her through her surgery. We pray that everything will go well for that and that you will continue to guide us in all that we do. We just pray, our Father, for those who are suffering the loss of their loved ones. We think of Marie. We pray for her today. Help Peggy to be a blessing to her. And Lord, we thank you so much that you're always with us. We don't have to be alone. You're always there. Help us to understand that and to realize that and to know that we have salvation through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We do pray for our missionaries this morning. We ask you to bless each one of them and the work that they're doing. We just thank you for the ministries that they have. We think especially of the Ukraine and the situation there and all that's going on in the wintertime and with no lights and no heat. We pray that you will meet their needs somehow and help them to have what they do need in their lives. And Lord, we just ask you to guide and help us, lead us and show us what your will is in every area of our lives. Guide us and direct us today. And may we love you more and serve you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus as the king all the way through. This is his main emphasis, and this is evident in the story that we find. Starts off with his birth, gives a full explanation of that, and then goes through his baptism and on into his ministry. And then here we find especially his teaching, the giving us some examples of what he actually taught are the parables that were so important in his ministry. He had a different way of doing it, of teaching by these stories that he told and applying what he was going through at the moment to what he was presenting. So we find that, you know, it's in a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, right? Something like that, a story that we can understand, very simple, and something that was appropriate. Here he's talking about the man sowing the seed in the field. Perhaps there was someone there even doing that at that time. All the people knew exactly what he was talking about. Notice we see here, Jesus spoke plainly, but many times he used the parables. He had a selective audience, right? He mentioned that as we were reading this morning. You can see there, he says, you understand this, but he doesn't, right? And so the parables were there for a special reason. It's a comparison or an illustration that would open up the minds and hearts of people if they would truly listen. So the purpose of the parables. Look at verse 34 and 35. Get this page turned. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So, to reveal the truth to some and to conceal it from others. This is the purpose of the parables. Those who refused to believe were left in the dark. And Jesus explained the meaning of the parables to his disciples. We just read a few moments ago, and we see here the setting of the parables. It says the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat down by the seaside. Okay, so it's the same day that he had proclaimed in chapter 12, where he says here at the end, we noticed last week, the new relationship between himself and those who followed him. More so than human relationships, more so than the natural mother-son or brother-sister type of relationship. He says, who is my mother and who are my brothers, my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. So here's that spiritual relationship that Jesus had with those who believed in him, those who followed him. He says, we have a special relationship. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So he says that's even more important than the natural relationships in a family. They are important, but certainly in a different way. And so here we find he's continuing on. And here we see what he was doing in his teaching. Notice it says great multitudes gathered together to him. This was a time when he was quite popular. They were listening to what he had to say and watching the miracles that he performed and healing people and all of that. So it gathered great multitudes of people. And so they came, and there were so many people there on the seashore that he went and got into a boat and sat offshore, sitting down, and they all stood on the shore. That's just kind of backwards to what we have today, isn't it? Here I am standing, talking to you, and you're sitting, right? But that's not the way they did it back then. And so the rabbis would sit down and teach the people. And this is what Jesus is doing here, giving them the message, the lesson that he wants to bring to them. And so he spake many things to them in the parables. Starts off his story. He says, listen, there's a sower that's out in the field. He's sowing his seed. Excuse me. And so he's going to give them this illustration of something that they were well acquainted with, something they always did. I was reading this week, I was talking about there's two different ways that they did sowing. And I think the one way here is the normal way, where, you know, you've seen the picture of the man with the bag of seed on his arm, you know, right here, and he just takes and picks it up and throws it here in the field. That was the, I think, primary way they did it. But they said some people that were kind of lazy, they would put the bag on the back of a donkey and just lead the donkey along, and the seeds would fall out on the seed bin, I guess you say. Anyhow, I think the normal way was the sowing. you know, spreading it out, broadcasting it out in the field. And that's what we see here, these four different kinds of soil. Jesus speaks of this as being a mystery. Mystery. Verse 11, notice. He answered and said to them, because it is given unto you, the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. He says, this is the reason I'm talking in parables, is because you are to understand what's being said, but others will not. So a mystery in the Bible speaks of a truth that has been previously hidden. It's not in the Old Testament, but is now revealed. Jesus is revealing to his disciples the conditions that will prevail upon the earth during the time that the king is absent. You remember? That was the gist of chapter 12, was that they refused the king. They turned away from the king, right? They would not accept him, the rulers of the people. And so now the king, being rejected, is going to go away. He'll no longer be there. And he's revealing what's going to be happening during the time that he's not here. Okay? And that's the idea of the sowing of the seed. What does it mean? He's revealing to his disciples these conditions that will prevail upon the earth during the time that he's absent. This is the period in which we are now living, right? We are to be busy sowing the seed of the gospel in the world so that people might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Our mystery was a sacred secret known only to the initiated. I was reading some of that this week as well, talking about these other religions that had, you know, different gods and so forth. They had their stories that they made up, but they were called mysteries. And it was the ones who were involved in that, the members of the particular cult, understood what was going on, but not others. So Jesus is saying it's similar to us today. We understand what he's saying because we are involved. We are initiated into Christianity, right? And the kingdom of heaven, in its mystery form, is made up of what we call Christendom, right? You know, all around the world we've got millions of people, right, that follow Christ, or at least claim to. Claim to. And we see he's explaining here that everybody who claims to be a follower may not necessarily be, right? The message is proclaimed, but everyone does not receive it in the same way, does not follow the teachings that he gives. So everyone who professes to be a Christian is included here. This is Christendom. It includes the good and the bad, the true and the false. We'll see later in some of the other parables that he mentions later on that there's the wheat, or rather the grain, and the tares, right? So you got a mixture there. It speaks about the enemy coming in and planting other weeds in amongst the good crop, right? And that's what we see in the world today. I mean, you hear all kinds of people who claim to be Christians saying such strange things, huh? Jesus isn't really divine. He was just a good man, right? Is that true? Not hardly. And yet we have that teaching, you know, follow his teachings, or his ethics or whatever, and, you know, when you die, you just die and that's the end. Yeah. Wow. That's something to think about, isn't it? But anyway, we find here this is the idea As we read through these other parables, we'll see that. But this morning we're looking at these, our seven parables altogether, describe God's program for today and Satan's opposition to it during this age in which we live. So we find here the parable of the sower. Let's read that once again. It says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow," verse 3. "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." So we find, they tell us that these fields were all lined up, where they would plant the seed and grow their crops. And on either side of this plot of ground, people were walking, continually. And there was hard ground there where people walked back and forth, next to the field. And some of the seed fell by the wayside. That is where it was hard. There was no way that it could germinate. And besides that, it says that the birds came and devoured them up. So the birds were already, they saw this guy out there throwing his seed around, and they said, okay, here we come, we're going to get a feast, right? So they were all ready to eat up the seed. So we find here this man going along sowing the seed. And some, verse 5, fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Okay, they tell us that over in Israel there especially, that there's a limestone kind of big, how would you say that? Let's see. The stony place. It's not speaking of little stones, but of a bedrock, there's the word, covered by a shallow layer of earth. He says it's not much earth, right? And so this the seed lands on that, and it starts to grow, but then there's no way it can. It can't reach the water down below, and there's no way that this is going to work. Okay? So we find the sun dries it up, and there's no crop. Okay, the third one says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground." Okay, the thorns, there's weeds and all kinds of things that had been plowed up, but they're still there. Choke out the good seed, and it does not bring forth the crop. So here we see the conditions. The wayside, paths between the fields that can't grow a crop. We see the birds, which represent Satan and his cohorts, catching away the seed. When the gospel is preached and someone hears it, Satan comes along and says, "Oh, you don't want to believe that. That's just some kind of story that's not true." And tries to dissuade people from coming to Christ. And so this is the fowls of the air, the birds. It distracts people from following after Christ, so that they do not believe. Their hearts are hardened. The stony places, as I said, were not little stones as we think of it, but it was rather that bedrock that the seed could not go down and germinate and become a plant and bring forth fruit. So the heart could not penetrate. They could not penetrate the heart with the gospel. It's a superficial belief that does not last. It only lasts for a while. But others fell into good ground. Okay, good ground. And brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. So here we find, finally, this farmer gets his crop, right? He doesn't have as much as he had hoped for, but he does have some. And here, the sower bringing forth fruit from the soil, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. What does that tell us? That tells us that everybody, you know, that receives the message of the gospel doesn't grow at the same rate, right? What they produce is not necessarily always the same. Some grow very quickly, 100-fold. They're able to bring forth a great crop in this sense. Others less than that. But nevertheless, we find people are different, right? And when they receive the word, they respond, they put their faith in Christ, and then they produce good works, right? This is what Jesus is saying, the fruit that comes forth from those that believe, those who put their faith and trust in him. So here we see the good ground, those who receive the word of God into their hearts and produce the fruit that they need to produce. And so we see here he's saying that this is what we're looking forward to. So that's the basic story, the parable. And then as we saw in verse 10, the disciples say, "Hey, Lord, what does this mean? Are we farmers? Are we supposed to go out here and start putting seed into the ground? What do you want us to do?" Huh? And, you know, he said in another place, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." So he said, are we farmers or are we fishermen? And so he explains to them what all this means. And he says, you know, I'm teaching this way, the parables. And this is something that's kind of hard to understand a little bit, to think about. Why did Jesus hide the truth from some people? Wow, I don't know. You know, he had his own purpose in that. And he goes back to the book of Isaiah, where the Lord told Isaiah, okay, you go to these people and you preach to them and teach them. They're not going to listen to you. It's not going to, you know, they're not going to do anything, but you go anyway. And here Jesus said, that's the way it is with a lot of people. You go and you preach to them, you teach them, you seek to make it clear and understandable what they need to do in order to be saved, in order to grow, in order to be a productive Christian. And there's no response, right? You don't see anything happen. And he says that's the way it is. That's the way it was for Isaiah when he went forth. He says here, let me read this again. And he speaks of this as being the mysteries. He says, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. What does that mean? So there's some that believe, that are, you know, the elect. Is that what that's called? Well, that's a controversial subject, isn't it, to bring up all of a sudden? But anyway, I won't bring it up. Anyhow, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And I have a note here in my Bible. It says, a mystery in Scripture is previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed, but in which a supernatural element still remains despite the revelation. So we have a mystery here. And the greater mysteries are, he lists them out for us here, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven that we're looking at, the mystery of Israel's blindness during this age, the mystery of the translation of living saints at the end of the age, what we call the rapture, the mystery of the New Testament church as one body composed of Jew and Gentile, the mystery of the church as the bride of Christ, the mystery of the in-living Christ, Christ living in you, and the mystery of God, even Christ, Christ as the incarnate fullness of the Godhead bodily, in whom all the divine wisdom for man subsists, the mystery of the processes by which God-likeness is restored to man, the mystery of iniquity, speaking of the Antichrist we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, and the mystery of the seven stars, that's over at the beginning of the book of Revelation, the mystery of Babylon. So, there's a lot of mysterious things going on in the Bible, you know. If you like a good mystery, here it is. Huh? There's all kinds of mysteries that you can find in the Word of God. And he says here, you are destined to understand the mysteries. But those who do not believe cannot understand. I don't believe God blinds them or anything like that. They are already blinded by their unbelief. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. So if we hear the word of God, we believe it, we put our faith and trust in Christ, we begin to grow, he says you'll have more and more as you yield yourself to him. But those who do not believe, those who are blinded, those who cannot hear the gospel, they will continue to lose more and more. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. They can't see. Even though they are watching, they can't see because of their unbelief. And hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, as I said, who said, hearing you shall hear and not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. See? Their eyes, they have closed. God didn't close them. They closed their own, right? Okay. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. So it's the people themselves. They have to put their faith and trust in Christ. That's what we say all the time, isn't it? This is the way of salvation. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, who took your sins upon himself and went to the cross of Calvary, died in your place, that you might have everlasting life. And that's the message that we preach. That's the seed that is sown during this age, that we might be able to reach as many as possible. And he says, their heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, and at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand and should be converted. See? The opportunity is there. He says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Aren't you glad that you have some time or the other had the opportunity to hear the gospel, to put your faith and trust in Christ, and to enjoy all the blessings of salvation, you know? It's wonderful. It's wonderful that we have that opportunity, and God has blessed us in such a great way. He says, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them. See, we have great privileges. And to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. So he says, listen to the parable, and he explains it all to them, as they already have done. And we see that the word of God must go forth. And this is our responsibility, isn't it? The sower. Who is the sower? Well, here Jesus was the sower, but now we are the sowers. We give forth the word of God, right? And it's up to the individual to receive it or to reject it, right? We hope and pray that they're going to receive it, but it's their choice. And those who are blinded, those who are deaf to the gospel, cannot, until they put their faith and trust in Jesus, understand. They can't make a change until they put their faith and trust in Him. So he says, listen to this and go forth and do His will. This is the whole point, that we are to give forth the word of God and seek to make it known to as many people as possible so that they might have the opportunity to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. So it's our job, isn't it? As we have opportunity to tell others about Him. Father, we thank You for Your precious word to our hearts today, this parable about the sower and the soils. We know, Lord, that it's not easy. So often we fear to try to talk to someone about the gospel. And yet, You've told us that we are the sowers. Help us to go forth with the word of God and to spread it to others, that they might understand and put their faith in Christ. Lord, we thank You for all Your goodness to us today. Bless Your word and speak to us, we pray, and encourage us and strengthen us in our daily life. We pray in Jesus' name.